Welcome to Food Risk Podcasts, where we talk to people involved in the research project, to food authorities and to other stakeholders interested in clearly communicating food risk and benefits to consumers in Europe. In this podcast, we talk to Anya Reagan, Research Assistant for the Food Risk Project at University College Dublin.
So Anya, you are currently here at the Food Risk meeting at Brussels. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the role that you have in the project and what UCD are doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, my own personal role is that I'm Research Assistant on the Food Risk Project based within UCD, and I'm also carrying out my PhD in the project as well. For UCD, we have a lot of management work on the project in terms of organising it and managing it and the overall organisation of it. We also are leading Work Package 3, which is looking at how consumers respond to information on risks and benefits. We also have involvement in Work Package 1 and Work Package 2. Work Package 2 at the minute is just the task we have is it was looking at how social media and traditional media were used within the Irish dioxin crisis in 2008. So we're just finishing up research on that at the minute.
And what sort of early findings are you able to talk about at the moment? Because I understand it's not been published yet or put into the project coffers, as it were. Mm-hmm. So,
well, one of the most interesting findings, I think, that came from it was when you looked at the amount of coverage that was given to both the dioxin crisis in both the social media and the traditional media, we found that social media actually surged one day earlier than the traditional media had. So it had begun reporting on the crisis on the 8th of December as opposed to the traditional media that began on the 9th of December. So, but in fact, the social media had a second peak following the traditional media reporting, which suggests to us that you can use the social media, of course, within your communication strategy, but it's very careful not to focus all your importance into the social media, because obviously there is elements of the traditional media that feed into the social media. So we can tell that as stuff comes up in the traditional media, that it drives further reporting on social media. So it's important to definitely combine both in any communication strategy. Yeah.
So in terms of the early peak that you mentioned, although it was only one day, have you got any ideas why that may or may not have occurred? I mean, where would they have got their source of information than, say, traditional media?
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't look at it in the current research, so you can only hypothesise that possibly there was information already on the internet from online news. It could have been something like that. It could have been that news was our current research actually only looked at newspaper reports, so it could have been that the people who were blogging or twittering online, they could have picked up something from the television or the radio, of course, also, and that's where that fed into their initial social media surge.
But there's definitely some sort of evidence of a synergy between them and a relationship.
Yes, definitely. It's intertwined, and you can't really use one without the other, of course.
So in terms of analysing the data from traditional news and social media, how did that actually work?
Yes, so first of all, it was a two-step process. First of all, we had to think of a way to actually sample the data, so we had to take down records, social media postings, and also newspaper articles before we could actually go and what we would call content analyse the data that was taken down. So first of all, we for the social media side of it, we used an information aggregator called Radian 6. So that allowed us to search within Radian 6 for the terms that we were using, which would have been like, for example, dioxin and Irish or dioxin and crisis. So we searched them terms first of all, and then we extracted the data from there, and we had to clean the data file, which was, for example, taking out irrelevant data from there, for example, anything that was not related to the Irish dioxin crisis. So that was done manually by people within the project.
So basically, having identified the information you wanted, you manually evaluated and coded the contents, did you, of both social media and traditional media?
Yes, so coding then began with researchers within UCD of the traditional media reports, which were the newspaper reports, and also blog postings, forum postings, and tweets. So the coding began under each of them. We were coding according to the sources that had been used by these reports, the tone of voice that was used within the reports, and the topic that the story decided to focus on. So they were our three overall themes, if you like, that we coded underneath that. And it was a very systematic process in that a coding framework was developed, which would be what we would call it, and the researcher stuck to this year coding framework and went through each article coding them to finally exhaust the sample size that we had selected for both the traditional media and social media. And from there, we were able to carry out analysis on them in terms of frequencies.
Mm-hmm. And that analysis will be published in due course?
It will, yes. Yeah. There will be papers coming out of that in due course. At the minute, we have early findings from it, but of course, they'll be written up in papers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's going to happen next for Work Package 3 now that you've finished Work Package 2.2?
Yes, for Work Package 3 now we're beginning a web-based survey, and we're going to be looking at least 5 countries, potentially more. 4,000 plus consumers will be taking part in that, and our aim is to look at how consumers respond to risk-benefit information and to try and get an understanding of what are the factors that drive their responses, so what are the characteristics of the consumers, and with a view to looking at particular subgroups of the population and to try and understand what responses are coming out of there and how best to target communication towards them. So that will be taking place over the next several months, and that's where UCD is at the minute.
For more information on food risk, visit the website at www.foodrisk.org. That's food risk, FWDRISC.org.